Welcome to Geeks On, a show created by geeks for geeks, covering topics that geeks like to talk about. This week, it's Geeks On, the Boy Scout in the Modern World.
No. That sounds terrible.
Boy Scout superhero.
Yeah, not just like, not like
Geeks On, Boy Scout the superhero. No. What was it?
Geeks On, Boy Scout superheroes in the Modern World.
That's really terrible.
Okay. Just Geeks On, the Paladin, the Boy Scout superhero. Still remain relevant in the modern world.
For more information and news we talk about on our show, go to www.geekson.com.
Hey! Hello, my geeklings!
Welcome to another episode of Geeks On.
Welcome back.
It has been a while.
It's been a while.
Happy 2011,
everybody. Yeah, we say that.
Yes.
Oh, that's right. The first one of the year.
Yeah, this is actually the first time the four of us have been together in the same room this year.
Yes.
It has.
I mean, it's been so long, I actually have Christmas presents for all the people.
I already gave out part of my Christmas presents to Aaron, but I have the other ones for you.
Uh-oh.
Oh, yeah.
So why don't you go first, Doug?
Okay, mine is...
While you hunt them out, I'll introduce myself. My name is Matt King. I'm an actor here in Los Angeles, and I'm a geek.
My name is Pete Robinson. I'm a screenwriter here in Los Angeles, and I am a geek.
And I'm Aaron Hendricks, and I'm a graphic designer here in Los Angeles, and I'm a geek. And Peter, you're actually playing a video game while introducing yourself.
He has twins.
I am a geek.
He has twins.
Rude.
He has to do as many things as possible at once.
Right. This is true.
As he can.
And my name is Don, and I am a writer and creative director for a video game company. Thank
Woo-hoo!
You so much.
Thank you, promoted.
Woohoo! Here in sunny Hollywood, and I too am a geek.
Excellent.
All right, bring your presents, yo. Come on.
Okay. So, I carefully selected these out with much browbeating from Lizette. I only take partial blame for this.
I blame you.
If you pull out a brain, a heart, and courage, I'm going to...
Well, he already got me in trouble with the fuzzy 20-sided dice for my car.
Which I've never seen again.
No, it's because they snapped.
Oh, did they?
I still think, my wife was up there at midnight going, but.
You're lucky. There was a Geeks On listener. I was never able to pull this together, but there was a Geeks On listener who agreed to put together a mobile of fuzzy dice.
Oh, that would have been cool.
But I wasn't able to track down all the fuzzy dice that I needed.
That would have been very cool. Yeah.
Anyway. So, Aaron, being the most enduring of us, the iron in the Geeks On side keeps us together. For being our endurance, you get... The Iron Man underoos.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
This is something that I think all geeks need to have.
I didn't know Aaron was that packed.
Well, clearly, then, you don't know Aaron.
I could not believe that they actually have male adult underoos.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I found these in Target and got terribly excited.
Wow.
And not for that reason.
Mm-hmm.
Matt.
Yes?
For being the man on the go, go, go.
All right.
Such as you are.
Flash?
Flash underoos. Everybody keeps laughing every time I say I'm going to give those to you. I don't know why.
That's the Flash.
Why am I terrified at this moment?
And for Peter.
Yeah, if a woman sees you wearing flash on your junk.
Luckily, you are already married because that would not be good.
Oh, man. Iron Man, not so bad.
And Peter... Because I've actually seen him juggling two small children and a laptop at the same time. His agility.
Spider-Man.
Must be acknowledged. So.
Thank you.
We'll have to take a picture. And
May those suit your sticky palms well.
Holding them.
Yeah, all right. I was going to say, where are you going? All right, so I already gave...
For $49.95, we will, however, send you the... No, we won't. Never mind.
I already gave Aaron his present, but I got these off of Etsy, and they are brilliant and lovely. If you would like to make fun of the Christian fish in your own private way, somebody took the Christian fish and turned it into a sci-fi logo. It's actually, how would you describe it?
It's like a 1930s ray gun.
Yeah.
Yep.
And it's bad age.
That's so cute.
Yeah. Yes.
That's very cute.
Yeah. And there's a guy on Etsy who makes them. If you want to see what they look like, we'll send you the link.
That's awesome.
Brilliant. I was never clear. Like, if you put a sticker on your car, can you get it off again?
Yes.
What do you have to do?
The only potential issue is sometimes paint fades a little bit.
Yep.
So you know, that's you might have
the little square of.
Don't put it on your window. Don't put it on your car.
Oh, there's an idea. I have never had a bumper sticker in my entire life.
Yeah, don't put it on your bumper sticker.
I'm going to put it on my window.
Thank you.
You're welcome. All right, where should we go from here?
Well, how about news and or other?
Well, how was your geek month?
It was good. You know, I saw Tron.
That was it in the geek month?
Well, you know, I did see Harry Potter, but I can't even bear to talk about it. It was just so boring.
Well, you've never read the books.
It's still a boring movie. The movie just flat out ends. Like everyone in the theater was like, what? I heard a woman say, what? That's it? I mean, it's almost like they just turned the projector off. It wasn't like they kind of wrapped it up and with a cliffhanger. It was like
I was ready for the next one.
You know, I got to say, I enjoyed it, but let me also point out that I've only seen one movie in the last 4 months, and that was Harry Potter, so maybe it was just the pure joy of getting out of the house.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely, yeah.
We should clarify. I mean, we did kind of mention this, but I am now the proud papa of twins. Who are 4 months old as of the 20th month, a couple days
ago. And you will notice that is basically why Geeks On got derailed.
Yes.
Yes.
Some people have commented on the website not being fully updated. And I'm like, I sort of have not gotten around to that.
But pretty much everyone...
I've been busy.
Everyone's been busy. Matt, you're working on... What shows can you talk about at level?
I'm on Super Ninjas right now. G.I. Joe is currently...
Supa?
Supa. S-U-P-A-H.
Because they so street...
Ninjas.
Got it.
I wish... No, it's a great show. George Takei is on it, and he's playing a hologram.
Has he commented on your package again?
No, he hasn't. He hasn't recently.
I think we disclosed that story.
Absolutely. Long story short, I was in a show. George Takei came up to me after the show and said, "How wonderful! What the wonderful acting that you've been doing, and how great that it's wrapped in this wonderful package." And I was like, "My God, Mr. Sulu just told me I had a great package."
And that was before he came out.
That was before he came out. Yes.
Surprise.
Exactly. I was like, okay. But, George K is in it. I'm also, G.I. Joe's running, so go watch G.I. Joe on the Hub.
Woohoo!
We tripled their ratings, so we're doing...
I thought they launched...
Well, they launched with your show, so they hopefully...
No. They launched the network, and then our show didn't come on for a month and a half.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they were supposed to launch with us, and then basically...
What's triple zero?
Yeah, exactly.
What's three times zero?
Shit. No, it actually ended up tripling their ratings for their time slot, and we're winning our time slot by far, so...
And Aaron, last I heard, you went underground... working at CBS and
he's become.
Well, I've been traveling.
He's become a Morlock.
Went to CES, which we're going to talk briefly about at the end of
Didn't
the show.
Didn't you go too?
I did too.
Awesome.
We partied in Vegas, man.
Really?
We did.
We were in
Irish bars.
Irish bars.
Gambling done.
Gambling. Irish bars.
People dancing on tables.
What?
Yeah.
It was you two dancing on the tables.
Well,
yeah, but together you're people. I mean,
right? Exactly.
Doesn't matter once the shirts come off.
Can we? So anyway, one of the things I did see was Tron. Who here saw Tron?
I did.
I saw Tron.
All right. So Don and I saw Tron.
Yes.
Yeah.
We won't. Okay. So we won't ruin it for you two. But how did you like it, Don?
What ruin?
Well, honestly, I was reading the reviews for Tron. I wasn't expecting much. I was hearing word of mouth. I wasn't expecting much.
Everyone was...
The word of mouth was very poor. Yeah, I went in, and maybe it was because all the reviews were so bad. I liked it.
I liked it, too.
I thought it was good.
I didn't know what people were talking about. It's better than the first movie.
You think?
Yeah.
Well, I may have to hit you very hard.
It's the same movie. It's almost the same plot.
Okay.
It is. It's like Tron Revisited.
Right.
You know, it's hard to compare. You know, it's what they might have made the first time around if they had today's technology then.
Right.
It's beautiful.
It is visually beautiful. The plot is serviceable.
Yeah. I mean, you know,
the dialogue is serviceable. The performances are serviceable to good.
Yeah.
How's the girl from House?
She's beautiful, but she doesn't really do much.
She
doesn't have much of a role, you're saying.
Absolutely. I said this. If Apple could design a woman, that's what she would look like.
Yeah.
If Steve Jobs could design a woman, that's what she would look like in Tron.
Yeah. She's a very good example of what I think is wrong about women characters in Hollywood right now. If you look at Left 4 Dead, I'm going to use this as a good example because it's the same thing a lot of movies do. Each of the four characters in both the Left 4 Dead games have one characteristic that really defines them, right? One is the biker. One is, you know, the accountant or office-y looking guy.
Right.
One is the vet. You know, in the next one, you have coach. You have the gambler guy. You got the redneck. But with the female characters, their defining characteristic is they are the chick.
Right. Mm-hmm.
There is nothing else to describe them. And she feels like that character in Hollywood.
Hmm.
We need a woman. She's got to be hot. And really, we don't need her to be anything else.
Right.
So in this, she fulfilled that role.
It's kind of the same woman who's in the first one.
Okay.
Well, she's a more active participating character than the woman in the first one.
Yeah, well, the first one had the 80s to excuse her.
Yeah.
Because, I mean...
Well, they needed her there to push buttons, if I recall correctly.
Yeah. The first one, that was the end of her career. The girl that was in Tron disappeared after that.
Was it? Mm-hmm. Well, did she do anything before it?
Yeah, she was in...
she was that little dot.
Caddyshack.
Yeah.
She was in Caddyshack.
Okay.
Then she did that, and then her career was over. Kaputsky.
Well, I doubt that's
because she's in
happen.
The computer. She's yeah. the. I hear she was the dot.
How
the
is Bridges? How is Bridges making Bridges a younger man? Could you see?
There's
it?
A lot of debate about this. I think.
Yeah, it didn't quite work really.
Oh, okay.
And in my opinion, what they should have done is made him digital looking and just. Or did something
making,
to style...
Make him into the MCP?
Like, stylize him a little bit. So you didn't think, oh, yeah, it's not working. Just like, oh, yeah, he's like a digitized version of him.
Now, see, I didn't have that reaction. I thought it was pretty impressive. I liked it. But
it
I did
impressive.
Feel like they were filming him through gauze, if you know that effect.
Oh.
Like, he looked really soft and sort of...
Okay.
The edges were a little washed out. It was like every shot was a glamour shot.
Well, what was interesting
my
was...
My problem was this, he doesn't have the same facial articulation that we do. So he's not quite saying the words.
Right.
Like, his mouth's not quite getting there.
It was computer effects that they used on it, right? This... this is the same technology that they used with Lindsay Lohan in... Herbie the Love Bug, when she showed up every day to the shoot, trashed out of her mind with deep circles under their eyes, and they had to every shot in the movie.
There's no actor there.
No,
this is Avatar.
This is actually what I can finally admit was I did a lot of the previz stuff for Tron 2, because they had so much motion capture stuff from me from doing. What was it?
Bruce Lee
thing, and then Benjamin Button. They moved it into Tron. They did a lot of previs for moving Jeff Bridges' face around on me, which was fun.
Why didn't they just use him to?
Because he, I mean, he doesn't look. It wouldn't be like straightening some wrinkles out. It would be.
It's
just not the same guy.
Yeah, it's not the same. Yeah.
It's just completely
after that many
different.
Years, your face changes.
Yeah.
Too much. I mean, what I'm sure is they probably captured a lot of his facial information from
the
original film.
Well, they did. You can see he acted the whole thing out.
Right.
It's him acting, apparently, but whatever that means.
Hmm.
I mean, you know, even in...
Well, you just put a makeup on. You put a makeup on, but, and the computer reads your face.
Yeah, but it doesn't capture every dot of your face. What it does is it captures every dot of your face, and then it says, okay, he's smiling. Here's the smile animation. We've always been... I've done some research about, like, even Avatar and some of those things. Wait, maybe not Avatar. The Gollum stuff.
Mm-hmm.
The Gollum stuff where they captured his face and all that.
Right.
At the end. It wasn't even the beginning. It was, like, kind of the later technology. And God, what was the other?
But
movie?
Gollum is pre this. Gollum was basically still working with animators.
But can you remember the other movie? Anyway, I thought it was if your cheekbone dot moves up, then the cheekbone dot in the character moves up. That's not necessarily what happens. What they did is they programmed 100 expressions in these creatures, and then it looks for smile and then does one of the smiles.
That's, I think, the
I'll give you an article about
it. The MOVA stuff that we were doing was literally I was moving my cheekbone and the thing was moving its cheekbone.
Well, I haven't... From the technology I've read, it's not one-to-one like that. That's what I thought, too. I thought it was... We get the exact performance, but... I'm telling you, that Jeff Bridges model was not the exact performance at all, period. It wasn't.
It's interesting. I've been waiting, too. Like, 6 years ago, I heard about similar technology being produced by the Jim Henson Workshop.
Yeah.
And
well, they actually did it, and I don't understand why they're using it. Because they used it to turn puppets where you would act a puppet. You could literally put on these things and like they perform their animatronic puppets, mm-hmm. but the puppet is in CGI.
Yeah.
Yeah. They had,
I saw that at Comic-Con.
Yeah. We saw it.
And it was like, what's the point? You know, I mean,
probably because logistically,
why does it...
some of the logistics of filming puppet stuff, like the Muppets, mm-hmm. you've seen the behind the scenes stuff where like filming this stuff, they have to like cut holes in the floor and like, you know, cut crazy angles, have platforms for human participants. And maybe with this, it's just that much.
No, they're not, cheaper. They weren't even equating them to puppets. They were actually like putting them in creature stuff, other creature stuff.
No, I don't know.
This was actually animated stuff. It was.
Yeah. Okay.
It was like cartoony. But the reason why they did that
hang on a second. They wore the outfit and they did it, and then the animated people would move in sync with it.
Exactly.
Okay.
Well, what I saw, they actually had hand puppets.
No, it's probably just an evolution of the same thing.
Yeah. This was full body. Like, their hands were the hands of the creature. Their legs were the legs of the creature. And they would move that
around.
Oh,
the whole body?
Whole body. But I didn't understand why to do that just with an animated, you know, creature on the screen. No, I mean, the part of the joy of a puppet is knowing that there's a puppeteer in there working the puppet.
But when was the last time
if you're going to record your animation, your puppet animation into a computer, there's no difference in terms of the viewer than watching something that's been drawn in CGI.
Hmm.
You know,
yeah.
Puppets are about real time in a certain way. You know,
I guess so.
Anyway,
anyway. I like Tron. I don't know. I don't know what the reviews were. I thought it was fine.
I liked it, but unfortunately, I think aside from Tron, most of us have been falling down on the job. I don't think most of us have made it to the movies over the past month or
so.
Yes,
I've just been playing Halo.
There hasn't
Reach
been a lot of movies out.
Yeah,
I've been swamped. So.
Anywho. CES, hit it.
Oh, do you want to do CES now?
Sure.
Yeah. Okay, well, CES.
This was my first CES. Now, you've been there a few times before, right, Aaron?
Yeah, this is my third.
So, tell you the truth, I didn't really know much what to expect, you know, as far as just presentation.
Bigger than Comic-Con?
No.
It's
big. It's very big.
It's the floor space of, like... of booths is way bigger,
right?
Mm-hmm. But they don't have those like halls, those panels.
Okay,
so it's kind of hard to tell, really.
So it's just booths.
Yes, but the other thing that I found very interesting was like, unlike Comic-Con, where everyone is trying to show off how different all their stuff is, you know, everyone's trying to showcase the uniqueness of their stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I actually found that in general, it was actually really repetitive.
Hmm.
You know, as I'm walking through one section, like every TV retailer is showing exactly the same product. You know, all the camera retailers are showing exactly the same product.
So they want this sort of this. We're the best of all of these folks.
Yeah,
okay. Yeah. I mean, it's the big boys,
right?
These are like big
Sony,
boy
Samsung.
Boys. Yeah. Or, so when they're launching a 3D television, everybody wants to get on that action. So you see 3D television. Now, I thought the 3D this year, which was heavy, was way less than last year. I feel like the TV manufacturers realized that forcing 3D down our throats didn't work.
Hmm.
Yeah, well, and it flopped. 3D TV sales were a flop over the past year.
And you could see it. Now, they did have 3D video cameras that I thought worked really well. They, in fact, had cameras on the floor, like home video cameras.
What do you mean, shooting it in 3D?
Yeah, shooting it in 3D. And then it would instantly, like, you get the live feed of 3D, and they had, like, actors, so you could film the actors, like, in sets. Hmm. And it popped. Like, it looked really good.
Okay.
Glasses were out, you know, the flutter glasses that kind of make your eyes
hurt,
and they're really heavy.
Right.
Those were all like disappearing. Hmm. There were a lot more TVs there without glasses that were 3D. And, you know, last year you had to sit literally right in front of it. Yeah. Now there are four places to sit.
I'm one of those people. I never had problems watching 3D. Like, it never gave me a headache, never made me nauseous.
Right.
Those TV made me sick.
Really?
Like, I was sitting in the right spot, and it just hit some chord in my brain where I was going to heave.
Were you playing Halo?
They were playing a Last Starfighter-style game as the part of the demo.
I told you I designed a specific level that I wanted to make for you that specifically made to make you heave in Halo, right?
No.
I did this, yes.
Yeah, but the thing is, with Dawn and those type of games, you don't even have to...
I don't have to work.
Yeah. Flat plane, just, you know.
I don't have to worry, but specifically...
Unless you put a zombie in it, then he miraculously...
Right, exactly, then he would heal.
Yeah. Or insane people, those splicers... Instant cure.
Yeah.
So I'm not actually going to go. I'm not going to go through. I think I saw more CES than you. I went 3 days.
I was there for two.
Did you look at the cars?
Not really.
I love concept cars, so I was...
They don't really have a lot of concept
cars. Were any flying?
Yeah, no flying. They have stereo systems. That's about it.
And people don't understand my needs.
If you really want to see all the big boy stuff... Mm-hmm. Go to like Engadget and that type of stuff.
Yeah, I mean, the two things I saw the most of this year were smart TVs. I mean, smart TVs is the, you know, oh, it's the wave of the future.
A lot of smart TVs.
Yeah, but you know what? It's just not that exciting yet.
So
it's like, I've sort of seen this before. You can do it now if you want.
Smart TV is just, you know, like Hulu and that stuff built
You can
in.
Get what you want on your TV.
Yeah. Here's my, I think it's a bad idea. I want to keep my TV for like 10 years or so, and those things outdate in like 2 or 3 years. Yeah. I'd rather just buy a $99 box, hook it up to it, and when that, you know, when my Apple TV or my Roku box gets old 3 years later, I'll go buy another cool $99 box and keep my awesome big ass TV without that junk in there. I think when you build that stuff in there, it's going to make your TV old faster, in my opinion.
And a lot of the stuff I saw was sort of under-supported right now. You know, it's just like, I wasn't that impressed by the options given.
Right.
You know, like, if you're going to do all this stuff with a TV, you should have a decent web browser, you know, and they didn't.
Some of the little things, though, I will talk about.
Anything wow you?
Not a whole lot of absolute wow stuff.
Because last year you were like, whoa, 3D TVs.
Well, I wasn't wowed by them. I was wowed by the amount of them.
Right.
Like, everything was 3D. In fact, even things that weren't 3D had a 3D tag on them. And they're still trying to, like, convert 2D to 3D, which just doesn't work at all. And just...
Well, what's interesting I found was that there were a lot of Kinect-style devices, too.
Lots of those.
And it's really... Right now, Kinect is probably the most ubiquitous of the Kinect-style devices.
And is anybody else, like, amazed that Microsoft went... Once that somebody hacked it... And then put the hack out on the internet that Microsoft did not clamp down Microsoft. Mm-hmm. And now more people are buying Kinects because they didn't.
Yeah.
It's amazing. I was like, wow, you guys just Appled the shit out of it.
But here's the thing. Like, the Kinect, because it's everywhere.
Right.
Everyone knows what to expect from that. Most of the clones that I saw were not better, were not even close to being as good as the Kinect. And they were showcasing them with games... They looked like from Nintendo 64. They looked like the Wii would not have a problem running this program.
Boy.
It was bad.
But these are like things on like cable system, your cable box you could play like some games with.
Yeah.
And suddenly you could like control your cable box using your arms, that type of thing. The other thing I saw a lot of was, I don't know why, but vapor cigarettes.
Yeah.
These are those things that add tobacco. Mm-hmm. Or no.
You can add whatever you want.
You can add whatever you want to. And there was a lot of them.
My buddy Kevin loves those.
It totally helps people.
Yeah, he got over his nicotine addiction with them. So he actually has a stogie that he would smoke in the audio booth for G.I. Joe.
It smelled
like strawberries in the booth. Mm-hmm. But
do you guys remember this robot that came out 2 years ago? The Pleo, I think his name. It's a little robotic dinosaur. Now, the problem with this little robotic dinosaur, it's $400. So it's hard to buy this for your kid.
Right.
But when you touch it, it knows when you're touching it. It can see what's in front of it. And it knows where you are. And it you can hear things.
My kid
you
would
name
love
it.
That.
Well, now they've made all this interactive food. There's little packs with carrots and mint leaves and mushrooms and different minerals.
Does anybody else think that looks like an advertisement for an adult store novelty?
Yeah, it really does.
It does. But the crazy thing is, each one of these
gel dildos.
Each one of these actually makes the robot.
Thanks, Matt. Now we have the explicit tag. Nice.
I already swore twice.
These things actually change the personality of the. Of the dinosaur.
I bet they do.
It's pretty cool. It was actually if your dinosaur was getting all worked up and you gave it a chunk of ice, it would calm it down. It's pretty cool. Anyway,
what exactly did you give your Pleo that made
it a little jalapeno pepper, it gets all worked up again.
Yeah, I'm not sure what the hell.
What's the raw
this is just one
do?
Step from the dinosaur to Eva.
Right. Yeah. They have learning stones, and I didn't see what those did.
What are the fuzzy cuffs?
Duh, they learn.
One of those things looks like a boob. Did you see that?
Totally. Advertise in a different way,
please. The
other
thing that I saw a lot of was applications for iPad and iPhone that would interact with your smart TV.
Nice.
Turning it into like a remote for your TV or projecting whatever you're using on your iPad.
That's nice.
Your big screen.
Nobody's solved it.
Yeah, it's like, great. You just turned my iPhone into a remote. How freaking exciting.
Right.
Yay.
I would love an iPhone remote.
Really? Why?
Well, I can get rid of all my damn remotes.
Yes, but then it would mean that, okay, so I want to change my channel. Now I have to exit out of the application I'm using, go to that application, wait for your goddamn iPhone to actually run the damn application, which sometimes takes up to 5 minutes.
The new iPhones are really fast.
The new iPhones don't do that.
Okay, well, this thing is a freaking brick. Whenever I need to get somewhere, all of a sudden the mapping program just stops working.
Yeah, well, you know what? Let me just tell you, that phone is your own fault. That phone is like a year old.
Easily.
Like 7 months
old. I'm just saying.
iPhone is easily a year old.
Okay. This
ancient.
I always thought this was funny.
Now
when
I
you
feel
go,
so ashamed.
When you go to CES, there's all these very Asian companies that are not like A-listers, but they have almost A-lister names. Here you go, Matt.
Oh.
Some cameras from.
Oh, Canasonic can be colorful. Oh,
it's Canasonic.
Terrible.
No, not Canon. Wow. Not Panasonic.
Not Canon. Not Panasonic. But Canasonic.
Letters from all angry Asian people should be directed to Matt@geekson.com.
Yes, and I was just getting pissed off at Reddit
all right,
the other day.
Quickly to finish this off, there was as Don said, there's a whole room essentially filled with things that interact with the iPhone.
Right.
Including, they have musical instruments. This is like a guitar that you put your iPhone in.
Fingerist.
And
again, bad name.
Play this guitar thing. Yep. They had medical equipment.
Fingerist?
Yep.
Okay,
Asian.
Now you know there was a board meeting where somebody said, no. The Fingerist. We'll call it the Fingerist.
Yeah, not.
I just want to know, why is your brain in a certain spot tonight? Everything you talk about is somehow sexualized.
I feel dirty.
You should. It's called the Fingerist.
There was lots of medical equipment there that was actually pretty cool. That you'd pop your iPhone in, it would take your pressure and record it. Stuff that would like if you give your kids, it would take their blood sugar level and then email it directly to their parents, so they knew exactly all day long if their kids have diabetes, if they're taking readings and what it is. Some pretty cool stuff there. That's for cool. iPhone, especially in the medical stuff. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think of anything else that I try to kind of look at the small gadgets. They even have this is interesting. You know, Steadicam has all sorts of different sizes. They have now Steadicams for your flip video and iPhones.
Nice. Oh,
little
that's fun.
Teeny weird mini ones. I'm not sure who would buy it, but I did see some footage from it, and it actually looked like if you could use it correctly, it was actually a
decent Steadicam.
Yeah.
All right.
I did have one interesting encounter I thought Matt would enjoy.
Okay.
I was at the Sci-Fi Channel booth.
Excellent.
Looking around.
SYFY.
Sci-Fi, yes. The Sci-Fi channel. So I was noticing they had this big booth with a half-naked woman running around in the middle there. I'm like,
surprising.
Okay, so why is there a booth babe here? I mean, you know, duh. But so I went into the middle of the chamber, and they're promoting this game, Rifts, right? Rift.
Oh, right.
Rift.
I saw that.
About this other world where portals are opening, and these evil invaders from other dimensions are coming into ours and attacking us. And I'm like, wow, this sounds a lot like a role-playing game that Matt really used to really enjoy. So I go over to like one of the designers afterwards. I'm like, so Rift, right? And he's like, Rift. Is it any relation to Rifts? He's like, Rifts? I'm like, yeah, role-playing game, early 90s, And he's like, no, we're nothing like that. Okay, so, it's about this world where portals are opening and creatures from other dimensions. A lot of people use that idea. Thank you for your time.
Oh, Kevin Symbiota, get on this.
Mm-hmm. Just saying.
Lawsuit.
Yeah, I wonder. Well, they've gotten their asses handed to them a series of times.
I don't
I don't know. They had one guy run off with a bunch of art, and then they had somebody steal from them like millions.
They have a book out
now. They embezzled like 100,000.
Yeah, wasn't it?
Like,
yeah, it was terrible. Yeah, but he's still trying. God bless him. You know, go for it.
There's still a core audience for the Rifts game.
Mm-hmm. I still love the game. They sit on my shelf and I stare at them wistfully.
So the rare occasions I actually have had time. Oh, sorry. Was there more?
No. Okay. That was CES.
I was actually bored. tell you the truth. I just didn't get excited by anything I saw this time.
You were bored by electronics in Vegas. Wow.
Yeah, I was.
That's commentary
really
on the show right there.
Yeah, it just.
I always like it. I think it's fun.
If I wasn't there for business, I would have been annoyed. Wow. But so in my spare time, two quick game reviews for downloadable stuff for Xbox.
Okay.
The first thing I played was this thing called Unbound Saga.
I saw you playing that.
It is actually really cute. I'm not going to suggest it as an awesome game, but for those of us who enjoyed Double Dragon back in the day, it has some callback to that. It's a little bit like Double Dragon RPG, a little bit. But the premise of the game caught me, and I love this idea. The basic idea is your lead character believes he is a bruiser character from a comic book, and he is trapped in the world of a comic book being drawn by a creator who hates him. And he intends to just do everything he can to kill him.
That's fun. Sort of a Deadpool-ish kind of character.
A little bit. Anyway. So as you're progressing through the game, your character is literally running up to the edge of panels in the comic book and then hopping over into the next frame.
Great.
He's very upfront about his beliefs, even though everyone else in the comic book is like, I don't know what you're talking about, man. You're just crazy. But the best thing, the thing that I love best about this game is when new enemies spawn in, you see a real-life hand reach into the screen and quickly start drawing the enemy in the background while you're dealing with something in the foreground. On that level, worth downloading the demo. Check it out. It's a co-op two-player as well. So if you want to play with someone, you know, just for fun and for yucks around the house, it's really simple, straightforward, easy to play.
What's the other one?
The other one that I downloaded,
other than the X-Men four-player,
was called. Oh yeah, well that was fun. Shank.
Shank.
Shank. All right.
Like, I will shank you
in
prison?
I will shank you.
Okay.
Okay? It is the most gratuitous, over-the-top, violent platformer I've ever I've played in quite some time, with the most smoothly integrated violence, with this character who alternates between a knife, a larger weapon, and a ranged weapon, smoothly between three buttons.
Okay.
The exchange between the three is really beautiful.
A la Contra kind of thing?
And it's side-scroller, right?
It's a side-scroller. Yeah, yeah. It's very simple. Very simple. But so you can do stuff where, like, you know, you pull out your chainsaw, you jump 3,000 feet up in the air, you impale the guy on the floor with your chainsaw, and then start basically bashing his head against the ground with your chainsaw. As if you want, you can pause for a moment, pull out your shotgun, and shoot someone else who's coming up to you, and then just go back to work on the guy you have on the ground. It's over the top. It is comic book. It doesn't pretend to be anything else than a even more bloody and violent version of Kill Bill with a male protagonist. That's all it is.
Wow. Sounds like fun.
Okay.
I recommend it. Download the demo. It's one of the few downloadable, like, random downloads I've ever downloaded that I actually bought.
It's good, new-fashioned American fun.
Yeah. It's just blatantly bloody. Do not let the kiddies try it.
Interesting.
All right. Yeah, kid, Pete, you can't. Our kids can't play it.
No.
Not yet.
Oh, and if, yet. For those of you, this is an older game, but for those of you who haven't tried it yet, Explosion Man is pure joy.
Just Explosion Man?
Explosion Man.
Lots of attention.
Does he explode?
Yes. You are a escaped laboratory creation trying to get out of a lab, and your one ability is to explode. So,
which launches you in the air.
In the air. But if you're playing with friends, you can explode to knock each other farther up. So you actually have to cooperate where you are not jumping so much as you are jumping someone else who then jumps you.
Can you play Xbox Live co-op?
Yes.
Oh, that's fun.
And
Explosion Man.
Again, worth grabbing the demo. It's one of those few that I sort of randomly tried and was worth buying.
All right.
By the way, there's a Xbox Live dungeon crawler coming up. Can't remember what it's called. It's an old PC game. But it's got... It's like Diablo, where you have random dungeons, and so it's coming up.
Aren't Diablo 2 and all of those fun things coming out soon?
Hold your breath.
All right.
Okay, shall we do some news?
Let's do it.
So that was the news.
Peter, your news.
So, we all know about WikiLeaks.
We do.
So, apparently Al Jazeera is doing its own WikiLeaks spinoff. So, even if WikiLeaks gets taken out, Al Jazeera will have its own version.
Happened today. They released a whole bunch of stuff on the Israeli peace talks.
Oddly enough, that was my news story.
Oh, well, there
they
you
released
go.
A whole bunch of stuff on the peace talks.
Yeah.
And what they said basically was that...
the stuff that was nasty today was they were saying that there was all this stuff on the Palestinian Authority that said they released everything. That the Palestinian Authority basically gave away all settlements except for one. You know, they were like they conceded to everything, and it made the Palestinian Authority look terrible. It made the Jewish Authority look terrible because the Jewish Authority then, like, if you received all of these concessions, why didn't you say yes to a peace?
Yeah, the Palestinians basically were getting more and more desperate to
It looks like Fatah is like crazy, like in the court.
So a whole bunch of asshole leaders got outed.
Got outed.
This is the reason why this is a good thing.
Exactly, I agree.
Right.
Yeah.
So it was cuckoo crazy.
You know? I mean, it's I'll be the first to admit this is dangerous. You know,
it's very dangerous.
This could spill blood.
Yeah.
You know, people may die because of this, but, you know.
But this type of thing
well,
that
people
were
dying because of it anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, you know,
no, that's hard to dispute.
And, you know, look, the truth of the matter is that something like WikiLeaks does have the ability to do, you know, damage, serious damage in a bad way. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, the stuff that I've seen that's come out has been, to my eye, pretty good stuff to know about. You know, it has shown us. You know, that our government says it's doing one thing and does something different, which is something that we as the people should know.
Or actually, a lot of the stuff has been showing that we are doing stuff like
that we say we're doing.
That we say we're doing.
We're being consistent about some stuff.
Yeah, a lot of stuff has been outed that, hey, you know what? What we know about is actually what's really happening. That there hasn't been a lot of.
And there are decisions. Like, I'm one of those happy, slappy, merry sunshine people where I believe the world can be a better place and I believe all people can achieve a higher moral standing. But.
Trekker.
But.
Yeah, totally true.
I'm also of the belief that people in true leadership positions are going to have to make some hard decisions, and the moral one is not always the correct one for everyone.
We should actually do a WikiLeaks
Battlestar
episode.
Galactica. And-
We should actually do a WikiLeaks episode and hit it out of the park because I guarantee
we
you
should we could talk
the whole time.
we
should
get a couple lawyer types.
Also, right. Keanu Reeves.
I know. This was one of mine, too.
Says that Matrix 4 in 3D is coming out.
4 and 5.
No, that's been Snopes'd.
Oh,
if I recall correctly, that's been Snopes.
It was on the front page of IMDb. I mean, that means nothing, but it was on the front page of IMDb.
Okay, I have to double check that sources, but I saw somebody posted that today, and immediately after somebody posted a Snopes account.
I know, but
I saw that.
Okay.
Well, has this been Snoped? The David E. Kelly Wonder Woman pilot has been picked up by NBC.
Oh,
I heard nothing about that.
Lord.
So it got passed by everybody, and then all of a sudden NBC picked it up, the pilot. Now, they only agreed to the pilot.
She's fighting for your rights in a pair of tights, Don.
Satin tights.
No, but listen.
What's wrong with you?
I think they're completely changing that.
Wonder Woman.
The project is described as a renovation to the iconic DC comic book in which Wonder Woman, a.k.a. Diana Prince, is a vigilante crime fighter in L.A., but also a successful corporate executive and a modern woman trying to balance
I've ever heard.
All the elements in her extraordinary life. I had a lot of fun writing this, Kelly said of the script TCA last week when he had the project had been put on hold. It's a huge project. It was probably too much to ask anyone to chew in for the next season, but I'm confident it will happen. It's a very complicated piece, which is the most fun thing about it.
That pitch did not sell me, and he's going to have to work. That sounds bad for what Wonder Woman is. But we're also going to touch on Wonder Woman when we get to our main
topic.
Why
don't you carry a weapon?
I am the weapon.
Oh, yeah. Why? I blocked it, and you brought it back.
I am the weapon.
Stop it.
Who knows?
It hurts.
David E. Kelly, he's got...
It hurts.
He's got some hits under his belt.
Okay,
yeah, but so. I don't know. NBC plus that bad a pitch plus, you know, Wonder Woman.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, really, if they use the old costume or the new costume, it's not going to look good. You know, they're going to have to redesign.
All right. I found a fascinating scientific study. I'm not going to go into the whole thing. But it's on smiling and how smiling can actually be how we dominate other people. You know, the evil smile, they always see the Joker. It actually may be that the Joker is the most dominant guy in the room, and it's because of his smile. My favorite little thing from the article was, chimpanzees sometimes smile not for pleasure or for social bond, but for power. A dominant chimpanzee will grin and show its teeth. Dr. Niedenthal argues that humans flash a power grin as well, often raising their chin so as to look down at others. You're an idiot. I'm better than you. That's what we mean by the dominant smile. Check out the article. It's fascinating on what we
do. What are you smiling about?
Sorry.
That's just rude, man.
Yeah, yeah.
That's just rude.
We can identify false smiles. They set off weird dopamine receptors in our head.
Did you take the false smile test that was floating around a little while back?
No.
It was really interesting.
You could tell it was a Facebook thing or something.
Yeah,
like
it was
that,
a Facebook thing. There were like 16 different people,
right,
with videos smiling and then releasing the smile,
right?
And they had you try and identify, is this a real smile or a fake smile?
And you could do it,
yeah.
Well, it depended on the person.
I got like 80%.
Yeah, I got like 85, I think. Like the range, like everybody seemed to either get most of them or get very few.
Yeah. So it's really either like you weren't good at reading people, or you were good at reading people.
Well, I mean, you'd think, like, I mean, law of averages, if you were guessing and it's an either or answer, like 50% should be sort of the average. But I was seeing a lot of people with like 30%.
Right.
Weird.
What else you got?
I don't know if maybe we all know this, but survey says that many women are physically unable to resist jumping to bed if you know how to press the magic button send. That texting and Facebooking is making women more willing to sleep with people than beforehand. It says nearly 40% of women say that social networking media, such as texting and Facebook, are causing them to causing them to jump into the sack faster with partners than they would have in the past, according to a poll by Men's Fitness.
Huh. You know what this actually says as a comment to me? That all of the Venetian notes, when men would throw the notes over the wall or send men by courier to deliver the love letter or whatever, mm-hmm. This is effectively the modern day equivalent of that, is we're delivering our love notes. There's something to the romancing of that.
It's also just more of your life being presented.
Well, it says here it gives the false impression that you've actually been together a longer time.
Exactly.
Well, ooh. I would also say that it, when you send a message, you know, it allows women to read that message how they want to read it, with the intonation.
Right, so they can put their own spin on it.
Add some affection to it, different things, you know.
Right.
It's the opposite of when someone sends you an email and you think they're being really cheeky and an asshole.
Right.
You know? Mm-hmm.
Well, the other thing that was connected to it that I read is that lawyers are saying that skyrocketing numbers, percentage of the reasons why divorces are happening, they're referring to texting and social networking as problems.
Hmm.
Like finding, you know, messages on Facebook.
Well, sure. I mean, we've had a World of Warcraft widow on the show at one point.
Oh, yeah. Right. My cousin.
Yeah, I know somebody who lost his wife to somebody she met on Evercrack.
Wow. You know? Is Evercrack still around?
Literally. Yes. He came back home from work one day and all her stuff was gone, and she had gotten onto a plane to Texas from Massachusetts.
Wow. Did she wear her elf ears?
Maybe we just knew this, though.
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah. All right, last thing. Very surprising.
Turnstile News is a just-launched website written and produced by young adults. A wonderful mix of news, commentary, photography, blogging, and it's awesome. It's young geeks. Check it out. It's really Turnstile News. It's really, really badass for if you're a young geek.
Cool.
Excellent.
Anybody else got any?
Well, why don't we segue into the topic?
Let's do it.
All right. Who's going to... Don, why don't you announce our...
Tell us about paladins and white hats and gray worlds, Don.
Yeah, what do we mean by this?
About at one point about the new upcoming Superman movie.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
And yet again, the reboot.
Rebooting the reboot. So we started talking about, like, does Superman really fit into the modern world? Does he fit into what we want anymore? Do we believe in the people who just do good for good's sake? Now, think about...
And therefore, do we believe in his character as being plausible?
And the term we used for this was pretty much the Paladin, which was this character from Dungeons and Dragons or Real World, whatever you want.
Or the Boy Scout.
The Boy Scout.
The Holy Warrior.
Yeah, the Holy Warrior. The one who does right for purely the fact that it is right, with no other motive. Can you believe in this sort of hero anymore? And I was trying to think, are there any other examples besides Superman? I mean, in my mind, we are in the Batman age.
Well,
you know, we are in the world
of one thing. Does any of us believe that back in the 30s that there was nothing black and white in the world? Like
nothing but black and white in the world?
Yeah, anymore? I mean, like why?
But heroes of the 30s were very white hat. They're very white hat.
I think that it wasn't that people didn't believe in gray. and I don't think that it was people didn't understand that there were shades of morality. I think it was that we still also believed that there was a possibility of a really true good and bad battle, such right. as this was the era of World War I, World War II, especially World War II, where the Nazis were really like the ultimate villain, mm-hmm. you know. And
they didn't see themselves that way. They saw themselves as, you know. I think actually World War II is what kind of shifted the focus and actually the sort of postmortem on World War II. And realize in sort of World War II stories, if you look at them through 1940s, 1950s, mm-hmm. they are black and white stories with the Nazis being bad and us being good yes. because we won. Mm-hmm. If you look at the stories as they go on.
Not just because we won, because of Auschwitz as well, because the
right, but even look at Steven Spielberg's interpretation of that in Schindler's List. Even when they're shoveling the bodies into the flames, one Nazi soldier breaks from the mold and screams into the camera because he's going insane.
Well, here's what I
we
think.
Say,
yes, but it's again, it's not that the it's not that there weren't shades of gray. I don't think everyone thought that every Nazi was a bad guy, but they thought that the conflict overall as being good versus evil.
Right, but
maybe
that's
it was
how
just
they were
more
treated.
Sophisticated storytelling now.
That's what I'm saying.
It's not just how they were treated. I actually still think it was a very much a battle of good versus evil. You know, I still believe
I agree too.
I still believe that that battle, that conflict, was actually one of the last conflicts of good versus evil.
Absolutely.
You're saying that it was portrayed that way. I'm saying it was portrayed that way because in many ways it was.
Well, that just gives fuel to the fire that if it really was, then it makes sense that we should exist in this time period shortly after that where everything was black and white in so many of these stories.
And what's interesting, I think, is if you look at the superheroes that have, like Batman, you say it's the Batman era, but mm-hmm. look at the old Batman. And the old Batman was very much of the same mold mm-hmm. as Superman. Mm-hmm. was back then. Yep. He was also still a paladin, you mm-hmm. know? He's just someone who's been able to evolve a more complex psychology as our society's evolved.
Because
Superman's been harder to do that.
Because he's dark.
Because he's schizophrenic.
But even back then,
if
you go back to these old examples of these sort of golden age superheroes, like with Superman, all of the Superman villains always wore black hats. Mm-hmm. Right? I'm hard pressed to think of a villain from that time period where you sort of understood why they were doing what they were doing. They just wanted to destroy the world. They just wanted to be rich.
Well,
they just wanted to get the girl.
It was bad writing. I mean, it's less sophisticated
writing.
Storytelling. Yeah. And so maybe what we're saying is we haven't had storytellers tell a sophisticated story of Superman yet.
Well,
maybe that's the only problem right now.
I don't think that that's necessarily true because I think that Smallville, the reason that it resonated was because it found a way to do that.
Briefly.
Yeah, season 3.
I think it did go – it went
briefly. It went
hell to handbag.
Yeah, it's because
is the Superman story. It is one archetypal mm-hmm. character that we keep dusting off and pulling out again.
Right. But I don't think it's because of immature storytelling or anything. It's specifically because there is something in the human psyche that says this is aspirational and this is mm-hmm. something that is necessary. And there's Luke Skywalker. He does good no matter what, no matter how many times the dark side goes
after. I absolutely disagree.
You know?
I absolutely disagree. I think that Luke Skywalker was someone who had a dark side that he was constantly fighting.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the
point.
But
Superman
doesn't have that often. That's what's wrong with him.
That's why they brought in all the other kryptonites.
Right. You know, but Luke Skywalker has the danger, the very real danger of becoming his father.
But I disagree with that because Superman does – his part of Superman's battle is that he battles evil no matter what. The evil mm-hmm. and the dark side are the same thing. It's just one is an external and one is an internal.
But that's the whole point is that
– it has to be an internal
every
battle?
Superhero battles evil.
Mm-hmm.
Why is it that some superheroes are more accessible to our era and Superman is not? Accessible, and it's because psychology. If a person is just pure lily white as you know the day is long, then it's hard for us to relate to him in this era. In another era, he was the biggest comic book character there ever was.
Well,
because they could relate to it somehow.
In this era, we seem to need to take our lily white superhero, if he is lily white, and see that he's dragged through the mud all day long so that when he comes out of that, then he can be lily white. If you look at Hartigan in Sin City, mm-hmm. right? Hartigan in Sin City mm-hmm. is a guy that no matter what goes for the lily white opportunity. He is good no matter what. He's self-sacrificing no matter what. But we look at his face and we go, oh.
It's
this is a guy who's been through it.
It's because no one believes that bullshit, quite frankly.
But that's why people don't relate to Superman, is because we don't believe that he can get beat up. He's so strong that he doesn't. We don't believe that he actually really suffers.
I don't believe
in the
that.
Same
people,
way.
I totally like, don't believe that people don't identify with Superman is because they they don't realize that Superman. You can't identify with an alien.
Yes, you can.
But see, that's a sophisticated
Martian Manhunter.
Why can't you relate?
But by
to
that
him?
Argument, Superman is much more human than a lot of the human superheroes.
Right, but Superman puts on Clark Kent.
Yeah, Batman, but that's a sophisticated story.
Bruce Wayne puts on Batman.
That's a sophisticated story. If you ever saw Superman go, you know what? I'm lonely, and I don't want to be here. Like, I'm not a human. That's not I'm disconnected from you. I'm like a god. Why should I care about you? Like, why would a woman care about me? I'm going to see her die. I'm going to see all my wives die before me, one after another. Mm-hmm. Why would I do that?
Right.
Why? That's sophistication. That's dark. It can be very dark. And it would turn somebody like me maybe even rotten because I understand that. Or, you know what? I'm sick and tired of babysitting this goddamn planet. And I got to put that goddamn Lex Luthor in jail over and over. Hey, you know what? I'm going to kill him now.
Right.
So
well,
I can get some sleep.
They've done that.
Yeah.
They did that.
Well, and that's because maybe, you know, because that's believable.
Yeah. Where did they do that?
It was, I can't remember.
Justice League Unlimited.
Justice League Unlimited.
But, I mean,
but it was an alternate
reality.
And
Lex Luthor came out and said, you know, actually we talked about it in the Ted Biaselli episode.
Yeah.
Lex Luthor came out and he said, I'm going to do this over and over and over again. And every time you can't stand it because I'm, you know, you're going to put me in jail again. So let's go. And Superman goes, you know what? You're right. And he incinerates him.
Right.
Right. And that's a kind of a what-if story, though.
Yeah. But that's...
Well, that was a full...
But the moment that you hear that, there's a part of you that goes, awesome.
Oh. Yeah, because I identify with him.
Yes, because you've suddenly made him interesting, you know?
Because you made him human.
Right. And the reason that Smallville was successful was because it humanized him by taking away so much of his powers. So that
he didn't want his powers. I thought that
invincible.
Was
invincible, and you know, it added
which also makes him a little bit more complex. I think you know, originally, there's something. You know, maybe at the end, Superman should always come out lily white. That was what, otherwise he won't be Superman. But there's something about an alien that is essentially a god raised by a farmer and his wife, which is. That's the basis of his good upbringing. The reason why he does good is because his dad, he had a great dad.
But why don't we have this problem with Spider-Man?
And mom.
He had a great dad and mom.
Spider-Man doesn't have this dark side that pursues him around. He has, like, problems with laundry.
Actually, no, he does.
The more modern
Spider-Man is
very
racked with indecisiveness. Not indecisiveness. God damn it. The word was right there a second ago. He's insecure. Spider-Man is always insecure.
Okay.
And he also has other human problems. He can't keep his rent. Superman,
and
he has to pretend he's a bad
journalist.
Bad journalist just to, you know, he has to pretend to be bad because he's so awesome.
And part of the mythology of Spider-Man is that actually everybody hates him because of what the news does with him constantly, what Jonas. So he's a
And even
superhero.
In his personal life, most of, like when he was in high school, everybody thought he was a dork.
Yeah.
And by the way, I think it's a great idea for another, I think, complex issue that they should bring up in a Superman movie is I don't think any of us would love the fact that there was a god walking around able to do whatever he wanted. I don't think we would all be perfectly happy with that.
No.
And I think that's another interesting story. It's like, you know,
it's worth exploring.
I
or there are other people
entirely.
Who would just worship him.
Any government in this world would love some
governments? No.
Churches?
People. I think people would love that. Would
some
love
people.
That there was
some
somebody.
People. Churches,
if he was going around
churches
saving
just alone
orphans
on the basis
and,
of an grabbing an alien society.
Buses as they
but you know there would be
there's and all, that's all that they you know they did.
But listen, Spider-Man does the same thing and yet everyone hates him. It'd be so much more interesting if the news portrayed him in such a way that you started hearing, you know, well, this guy's an alien and, you know, and we don't really know what he's
doing. But that's not the Superman story, is it? I mean, that's the
thing.
But it's not because no one's
told it yet. But that is the purpose of the debate that we're having right now is the question of what should the Superman story be?
But why is Superman the one who's left behind? Why of all, you know, like, I mean, Why was anybody who wore the white hat fully, Dick Tracy, you know, Blue Beetle, Captain Marvel, you know, Superman, why are those the ones who are slowly being left behind?
Captain America.
And, you know, Captain America.
I'm hoping that that's the discussion we're having now, but I'm hoping that they're not being left behind. Because to me, if they are, it means it's because our own idealism is dying.
I would say that absolutely.
That's what I wonder.
The answer is Vietnam, I think. I think that with Vietnam, everything changed. And I do think that our idealism is dying. And it's not that we can't accept these type of characters, but it's that we need to approach them with we need to approach them with a complexity that that they're not being approached with. In the past, in the present, I mean to say, which is to say that the idea of someone who is all powerful, who is good, and so who never pays a price, isn't something we can accept anymore. What we can accept is someone who's good, but pays a price in order to keep our world safe.
But why? Why can't we accept that story anymore is what I want to know. And I pretty much agree with
you. Because it's bad storytelling.
But why is it bad storytelling? You're telling me it is impossible to tell a good story about somebody who is just good.
No. It's impossible to tell a story where someone who doesn't overcome a problem that's personal to him and that we can relate to.
What if your personal problem is that you want to fight evil, for God's sakes? You know, there are lots of people who do that on an everyday basis.
Then there needs to be a challenge to it. Like, if you tell a story about a cop who wants to overcome evil, we all dig. We all dig how dangerous that is. We get the risk.
But the easier that thing is, the less interesting it is.
Well, could Superman have survived in the Dark Knight then? As you said, Aaron, in the Dark Knight movie, Batman. Yeah. As you said when we were talking about that film, this was a problem that even Superman couldn't deal with because this was a man who was a terrorist who was just turning society on its head.
I think that plot was freaking awesome, and what was so brilliant about that plot is that it could have stumped Superman.
Yeah.
In other words, it was about. No matter how super you were, you couldn't be in two places at once, or you couldn't change how society was going to be. I mean, the Joker was testing society
for those of you who haven't seen this movie.
The Dark Knight.
The premise is...
And you're probably not a geek.
Yeah.
You're probably not listening to our show, actually.
Go watch it. I won't sum it up now. But actually, I mean, I understand what you're saying, Aaron.
Yeah.
But I actually don't agree with you.
Uh-huh.
I actually think that Superman, being the idealist that he is, right?
Mm-hmm.
He is the Boy Scout. He believes in the good of people.
Mm-hmm.
He would come to the conclusion that Batman did probably before Batman would.
Well, that's fine, but he was still Batman still tested, and he lost. He suffered because he couldn't be in two places at once part of the movie.
And
that would work for Superman. You're completely right.
Yeah.
Yes.
What would be a great ending for Superman would be one of these things where, like, you know, the bad guy's falling off the skyscraper and falling down, and is Superman going to save him? And at the last second, he gets caught by Superman, and he's hanging there, and he goes, "You couldn't have done it," and all of a sudden Superman crushes him.
Actually, to me, if Superman doesn't turn out to be Superman at the end, he's not Superman to me. I think that would be fun. What, him crushing the enemy?
I think it would be fun to see him go off the rails for a while. I think if Superman,
for a while, but not at the end of the movie.
But that's
to me, he was not Superman.
That's not his story.
Well, but the brilliance of Iron Man was that they did something completely different than what you were expecting at the end. I think that
he did.
Yeah, in the end, he says, "This is who I am." You know, he reveals himself, which is not the normal thing that you do with someone like that.
Yeah, but that played
into who he was as Tony Stark.
Yeah.
Again, he's putting on Iron
Superman. Superman is one of the reasons why I think Superman hasn't changed too much is he's too much of the number one superhero. Bread and butter of a company, and they're like, "Yeah, don't mess with them
so
too
that's
much."
So that's why you think that Blue Beetle and like that have faded, but Superman.
I really
is
don't
state.
Think that's true anymore.
Yeah, I think that people don't read Superman anymore.
Hmm. No, there are tons
it does
of
have
Superman
successful
comics.
Lines, yeah. But it's not their bread and butter
right.
anymore.
No, but yeah.
Superman's not the symbol of DC Comics.
Yes. Absolutely. So but the same way Mickey Mouse is the symbol of Disney, even though Mickey is not necessarily the big money earner for Disney.
Right, but they're not going to change. They're not going to put a third ear on Mickey.
No.
But Batman was also the symbol, and he has changed dramatically. You know.
But again, I think that was built into his character.
You are correct. You're absolutely correct.
I'm not disagreeing, but Could you? I'm not clear on how you think he's changed dramatically
From the hands on hips guy.
The original Batman was.
Oh, I thought you had said Superman. I'm sorry.
No, Batman.
Oh, never mind. Yeah. Yes, we all know how Batman's.
Yeah, I was like,
yeah. What are you talking about, Don?
This is going to be an easy point.
Here's a question I have for you, Don, and very specifically for you. Because okay. Have you guys read the Discworld books? As well,
some of them.
No.
Some.
I read.
Okay. Have you read the Feet of Clay, the Men at
sure.
Arms? Okay, so Carrot Iron Founderson, right,
yes.
is a main character of these books, and he's all good. He's all good and all good to a fault.
But
he
is true.
Put against the foil of Sam Vimes, who is cynical to a fault.
But here's the thing: the two as Sam Vines. For those of you who are not familiar with Discworld, just go read it. I'm not going to
go
say
read
that.
It's fantastic.
Sam Vines is not cynical to the core, right?
Okay,
he is idealistic at the core.
Batman.
No, Sam. Yes, Carrot is an exact mirror to him in that he's perceived as being bright and shiny, but there are choices he makes through the different books, and there are hints laid that. There is a deeper intelligence beneath what is presented.
Right.
And even more telling, because he's so good and so shiny and believes in people so much, he's perceived as being kind of dumb.
Right.
And when he has those moments of, is he not as good as everyone thinks he is? That's when everyone starts wondering, is he a little smarter than we gave him credit for?
Exactly.
So, well, that brings up a weird thing. Is Superman perceived less clever and smart than Batman?
Oh, absolutely.
He's so, because he's so good? Because he's so like, no, I'm not going to. I mean,
I actually would not say that belief in the goodness of humanity is dumb.
But you're like, oh, Superman, you're such a big dumb oaf. Well, I don't believe that.
Well, because
Batman's.
But
like,
that does bring up. But that brings up a very interesting point because what you're saying, if you're saying I'm not entirely good, right, is you're saying I am looking at the world through a very limited viewpoint. Through or a very specific viewpoint rather than limited. Let me say
or
a specific viewpoint.
I'm trying to.
Right, or I'm trying to. And therefore, because I'm looking at it through a very specific viewpoint, perhaps I'm missing things that I could if I had a wider viewpoint.
Yes.
You know, Batman has a much wider
viewpoint. You can go to a bar and get information out of somebody. Superman's not going to go.
Superman's
not. He's not going to know what bar to go to find out where. Yeah.
He's not going
to
do that. Because he doesn't have to. Well, you know, but he also wouldn't because he doesn't want to shake anybody
Superman,
down.
Superman, like, okay, admittedly, I haven't read a lot of Superman comics recently, but he's never been portrayed as sort of the people person that some of the other superheroes are. Like Wonder Woman, people person, right? Mm-hmm. She talks with people. She's like a leader of people.
Mm-hmm.
Batman, dark psychologist, but, you know, he gets people. He gets
the detective,
the core.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But Superman detective. Leads by example. Superman is that distant icon, the idol, right?
Right.
He's seen from
down
far away.
From
he
the
is,
sky.
I mean, I think the choice that Bryan Singer made in the last movie that came out of him hovering Christ-like above the earth was a very apt
representation. Oh, it was a very pretty shot.
I thought it was a very apt representation of Superman.
Yeah. I thought that was the most subtle and probably the most complex part of that entire movie.
Otherwise,
the entire movie was based around that shot, is he is a god and he's looking down at these ants. That, to me, would have been an awesome movie.
Otherwise, progressively, he just progressively lifted heavier and heavier things.
No, all he did was lift.
But now, aside from Superman, can you think of modern examples of the Paladin in modern culture?
Link.
I don't know Link. I can't decide.
Legend of Zelda.
Yeah, I don't know him.
You know, he's incredibly good.
Let me add one caveat to that.
Captain Sheridan.
Yeah, okay. That was actually my one example. That was my one example.
Captain Sheridan?
Babylon 5.
Uh-huh. Yeah, the captain on that series is very, like, good, good, good.
Yeah.
Though he does get some shades of gray at the end, but not much.
But, you know, these are not good examples in the sense that it's okay to have a multi-character show where you have someone that represents that because there are other people to explore the shades of gray.
Yes. Well, that's why I think they did the Justice League in a certain way.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, Superman's much more palatable in the Justice League than he is in a solo.
Well, he's the leader.
Well, also because you know what a Paragon will do. Right. Like, a Paragon of Virtue really doesn't have a ton of options that they can pursue and still maintain that virtue.
Yeah.
You know, but
he's like the chorus.
The thing is, I love
Superman. He sings the he spouts what the rest is supposed to do, and they yeah. may listen to him or not. Because they're always like, no, screw you, Superman. You don't know. And then Batman would go, you know, do it his way. Or, yeah. you know,
right.
he was kind of the Greek chorus yeah. trying to get people
trying
on board.
But I've been trying to think of other, like, protagonist characters that, you know, do good and questioning whether or not they're paladins. So
Kenneth
like,
from 30 Rock.
Wow. You're right. That's so sad, but yes, that's true. That's totally true.
I love
this. That's cold.
I love this character. I love paladins.
Dr. Manhattan.
No.
No, no, no. But Dr. Manhattan is an interesting... essentially, he's Superman, right. really. But I think that is a modern creation of Superman where he, in that story, he's losing touch with humanity.
Right. Okay,
and it's something that that you can even imagine. Like you're like, oh my god, I can totally see like.
But how do you do that and still make it aspirational? How do you still? Well, I mean, because that I think is the point of Superman, and that is the, what I truly love about.
Did anybody see The Last Temptation of Christ?
Yes,
I did not.
Well, how do you not? Oh, Don.
Last Temptation of Christ, which got people all upset for no good reason because it's actually a pro Jesus.
It's a pro Jesus movie, and it's actually not even a great pro Jesus movie.
But Christ, who is like the ultimate paladin.
He's Christ. Yeah.
I think that's a pretty safe assumption. He's a very
big Christ-like character.
Yes.
Let's just put it that
he's
way.
A very Christ-like character.
He, in this movie, in the middle...
A brown socialist who believes in free healthcare?
Middle chunk...
Sorry.
Middle chunk of the movie, gets off the cross and leads a normal life. He's tempted... to be a regular person, and he's takes the bait. Spoiler alert!
Ha! Did you just do a Christ spoiler alert?
Spoiler alert!
Did you just do a Christ spoiler alert?
Christ comes back.
Spoiler alert!
Wait, he doesn't really die.
He actually at the end of the movie, it's just the devil, Satan. Tempts him with these visions. But at the end, he says, no, I do not want all of this stuff, which would make me a way happier man. I'm going to die here for everybody's sins. I choose not to. And that's what a real paladin to me would be. Someone who is super noble, goes through all that stuff, and then still makes a choice. Someone who never has to make the choice is just a robot.
I agree. The suffering component is something that is missing from Superman, which to me does relegate Superman to being a child story. And that's the thing I was going to put in as a caveat. I believe we accept paladins as children's tales, things you put in front of children for them to aspire to. And then as they grow up, I think we expect them to see their aspirations change.
Maybe it's because I always see Superman as being melancholy. I always see him within – I don't see him as being, like, happy in the job.
I see him as being serious, Mike.
I think he's
not
serious in the
– Serious but not unhappy. But I want to just make a comment about what you were saying, which is that, you know, the suffering component. Yeah, you know, the moral fortitude story, there's a couple different archetypes of stories. And the moral fortitude story is about a good guy in a bad world, but he's got to pay a price. Mm-hmm. You know, and if that price isn't paid, you know, to sort of make the world a better place, then it just doesn't feel like there's actually any real conflict.
And by the way, you guys remember Superman 2, they actually did a good – I mean, Superman 2 has got some serious problems. A, it was made in the 80s, but it does a pretty good job of essentially telling that same story that he gives up his life to lead a human life.
Right.
He gives it up.
Mm-hmm. So there is a conflict. There's a problem.
Yeah. In his magical
that was well
case
done.
Of red.
And for the record, I really like Superman 2.
I like love Superman 2. That's the
have you seen it recently? Because it's
no,
a terrible movie.
I have not.
No, trust me. I have seen it recently.
It's one of those movies I have a feeling
but
I don't want to
read. It's a terrible movie.
But that could be remade.
But Superman 1 actually did something really great with it too, because he was so inept as the Clark Kent character and so constantly getting stepped on and had such a great Lois that was just taking the piss out of him.
Margot Kidder was just about
she was Lois Lane.
Without her taking the piss out of him the way she did and without him constantly struggling, he wouldn't have been human.
God bless Donner for
that one. Though the one thing I don't necessarily like about the movies is that the movies give the impression that that Aaron was saying, that he is Superman and then he puts on Clark Kent.
Yes.
Okay? Which – In my understanding of the story, reading the comics and sort of getting the character as I grew up, was never the case. He was raised Clark Kent. Yeah. He was always Clark Kent until he put on Superman.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so this whole idea of him concealing himself behind these glasses was really a convention for the movie.
Well, actually, that would be a lot more fun, would be to really go with the concept that this is Clark Kent, and he portrays a character, Superman, that he isn't really.
Hmm. Yeah.
He's got these powers, but he's really, you know.
Now,
I mean,
have any of you, I know the two of you have, there's a series of comics called The Boys.
Yes.
Where you
still
have.
So I got to finish that.
Where it's really, really good, but
makes me
not for children.
No, it makes me a little sick to my stomach, that comic.
Well, that's the question that The Boys always raises is what are superheroes? And the superheroes in that world present themselves as these paragons of virtue to the real world.
And they ain't.
But then through the eyes of the boys, we see the way they actually are.
Mm-hmm. Which is much more like basketball players or football players. You know, yeah. It's much more like superstar. I mean,
they're superstars.
So can we go around and give the filmmakers some seeds?
Well, wait. Before we... Absolutely.
I still want to take the moment for us to sort of try and come up with paladins in the modern world.
I have a paladin in the modern world who I want to know if you guys, because he's a real guy, I want to know whether or not you guys think that this guy, in order to be a true paladin in the modern world, whether or not you think this guy needed a conflict to get over and everything, or if you would be disappointed if he fell off his pedestal. All right. Fred Rogers, Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood.
If I were reading a book or a movie about him, yes.
About Mr. Rogers.
But I don't have to feel that way about...
You'd need Mr. Rogers to fall... Yes.
Well, there's a difference between a personality and a story.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, I don't need him to fall or look up to him.
After seeing him go for $20 million and watching his speech that he gave to Congress in order to get $20 million for children's programming in America, and watching him speak and seeing how deeply he walked the walk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's at the end of the movie. Right before that, he's doing coke off a hooker. And then...
No!
Wow. He has to fall.
No!
Wow.
No, look, he's got to be someone that struggles. I mean, look, I don't mind reading an article about him. I don't mind reading a lot of things. But if he's a dude who just, you know, everything always was... roses for him.
So if you told me that he never did anything wrong ever, I would say either you got your information incorrectly, or that person told you he was a liar.
So we would not accept, even if Fred Rogers, and I have no idea, even if Fred Rogers was that good a guy his whole life.
Yeah, I'm sure he was a great guy, but I'm telling you, he's not perfect because that person does not exist on this planet and never did.
But that said, I think the personality he projected is aspirational.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, that definitely. There's no question there.
I mean, there's so many people who have done so many good things and, you know, Martin Luther King's and all that stuff. And they all have some dark shit going on.
True.
Yeah.
And
true.
Even but it doesn't mean you look down on them. It just means they're human.
Which plays into what I think is the main type of hero we see in the modern day, which is the redeemed villain, right? Or somebody who did something awful in the past that they're trying to make up for.
Absolutely.
You know, that's the hero we see now. It's very rare that we see someone who just was a regular person and then set out to do good.
Yeah.
Did you have another one, Matt?
Yeah, Rick from Walking Dead. I didn't know what you guys would know. I just sort of went through and tried to think of as many as I could.
Well, you know, again, he's a guy who pays a price. I mean...
Well, I think he has paid a price.
And he's constantly paying a price.
In the comic books that I'm reading, he's got some problems.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you see where it goes.
It's
He's a good guy, but he's a guy who pays a price constantly. I mean, you know, he's not... Things never come easy to him.
Right.
Nothing ever comes easy to him.
But I feel like, I mean, that's always what I felt about Superman, is that things don't come easy.
No, things come very easy to him. Dude, the guy is... stronger than anyone else in the world. He's invincible. Bullets bounce off of his eyes. He cuts, you know, he's got laser beams that shoot out. I mean, the dude, like, what can't he do easily?
And right when
Lois to fall in love with him.
And right, well, that's, and actually, that's probably the most intriguing part of these stories.
The story. Yeah. But that we just talked about that. Mm-hmm. You know, but him going out and fighting someone, I mean, it's like, who's he going to fight that we're going to think, well, I don't know if he's going to, you know, make it this time.
Oh, they got more kryptonite? Oh, you know, surprise! It's
like, that's also a sign of the times as well. Superman did not start off that way. Superman started off as an aspirational character who had much lesser powers. He was not I can turn back time man. He was leap tall building in a single bound man. Bound, not fly, bound.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
He was no laser beams from eyes.
I don't think they probably thought out the plan or anything. They just started writing or like.
If you go back and watch the 1950s Superman TV show, there's almost like a power of the week. I've seen him phase through walls.
Superman 2, remember he kissed her and blinded her memory.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
That's a new one. I never heard of that one.
That made me cringe.
And wasn't he like blowing? No, he always he did some weird.
No, that is a superpower.
No, in like the fourth one, he had some weird ray, circle ray. I don't know. He was coming up with different rays out of his eyes. I mean, it's like they're always making stuff up.
Mr. Smith goes to Washington. Jefferson Smith holds his.
Well, it's again going back to that time.
His moral truth and
All
right. That's
do
all.
We have any suggestions for the filmmakers coming
up?
Do
not lift heavier and heavier things.
Don't turn back time.
I would love to see a real-life interpretation of what the public would think about a living God on this planet, able to do whatever he wants. I want to know what the government would really think and what religion would really think and what people would really think. I'd love to see a Superman who cannot move planets. You can cut down the powers a little bit.
Yes. Have him get a bloody nose, for God's sakes.
I would love to see him with getting frustrated with the world around him.
I want to see him be Clark Kent. That's what I want to see. I want to see him be Clark Kent. I want to see him be putting on a face to be Superman. And then I want to see him taking
that face
off.
I would love to see less Superman and more Clark Kent.
Yeah.
I wanted to see the downside of his powers. Nobody's ever showed the downside. I mean, they kind of did it in the Bryan Singer one, but I felt like they did it so much better.
Have him kill somebody by mistake.
Yeah, have him kill somebody by mistake. How about, you know, well, one of the things in the Doomsday episode was, once he did get bashed, there was no way to heal him.
Right, they were trying to get needles in him.
They couldn't get needles in him.
They couldn't set his bones.
Well, they did that. They did it in the last one.
I know, they did it in Bryan Singer 1, and it was so okay.
It was, that was an interesting scene. Yeah, I thought it was interesting.
I was like...
But they did that with Kryptonite, right?
Yeah.
No, he
I can't remember.
But there's lots of little things, like how does Superman cut his hair? How does he cut his fingernails? You know,
in the comic book, he always had a mirror and then
lasers.
Yeah, he used
laser
heat vision to do it. I know.
That's hilarious.
I don't buy it.
Well, I remember a long time ago, I read one of the comics where, you know, he always had a suit, Clark Kent suit, and he'd fly away and he'd come back with a suit. I saw him. They had the shoulder frame him folding the suit up and compacting it so much that there was a little pocket in the back of his cape, and he would. And then fold it perfectly, put it in the back of the cape, fly off, and they came in. He could then reverse it,
snap it out, and iron it out with
his
hands.
That's what he did. Oh, like someone had to like write that frame.
This is not canon from the comics, but something I think would be interesting would be to have the Supergirl character, but not a Supergirl, just another person who has those powers who chose not to do anything with them. Just goes off, lives a normal life as best she can, and see what
happens
to her.
Humanity kill themselves off and hurt themselves.
See what happens to her, and it's a different story.
Hmm.
You know, I'd like to see that bit.
Hmm. So, I have a question. Is there any reason to have a Paladin Superman since we've had the '80s one and essentially the Bryan Singer one?
Have a new Superman? You mean?
Yeah, I mean, would there be any reason to do another one right now? Unless they change it dramatically.
I think the Paladin side of Superman has been represented very well already. But unless there's a new way to present the Paladin, I think it's time to evolve the story.
Well, in doing the original Spider-Man, which I think really... why did I just lose the filmmaker's name? Somebody please, for Spider-Man.
Sam Raimi.
I think Raimi really set the bar. And then Nolan went... Oh, that's the bar. Okay. And really, like, went one higher with the Batman, which we've now announced that it's Anne Hathaway and I can't remember the actor for Bane, but it's Catwoman and Bane for the next Batman movie.
Mm-hmm.
They're also redoing
Spider-Man from scratch as well.
Yeah, so.
Resetting. He's in high school at least. That's cool.
Yeah.
They should keep him in high school as long as possible.
Yeah.
It's such a great world for
Spider-Man. Yeah, it is a great world. And he has real web-slingers. Like, he makes them.
Good.
Yeah,
because that made me uncomfortable.
Well, it was Spider-Man 2099.
Actually, I got to tell you, I liked it.
I liked it, too. I liked it.
I liked the fact that he could shoot webs at, you know, that it just it felt so much more organic.
Oh, no. I agree with you on that level. It's just kind of gross.
It is kind of gross. You're right.
A little icky.
A teenage boy who shoots white sticky stuff at you as a superpower? No, no, no. Hey, wait a minute. I'm Spider-Man. Shit.
If I only knew that in junior high.
And on that note...
We got anything else on this subject?
I think that's it.
I think that's it.
All right. What are we doing our next show on? Blank.
I think next show we should do it about... Are geek activities destroying our planet with all this violence and...
The Dungeons & Dragons Destroy My Teenager story?
Yeah, or video games, or comic books.
Doom makes mass murderers.
Yeah.
It's always geeky stuff. Dungeons and Dragons and comic books and what's going on here? Video games.
All right. That'll be our next discussion.
Right, I'm sick and tired of this crap.
All right.
Is that bullshit, Aaron?
That's some serious bullshit.
Thank you. Use your damn catchphrase, you bastard. All right, everybody.
Good night.
Have a great geek week. Geek it out. Rock it out. What do I say?
You say rock it out, I say geek it out.
Oh, rock it out.